Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Israel and a new report, a message that just came from Bibi himself, the prime minister. They have a great way of using technology, if you haven't noticed that already. And if you don't receive Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's feed on Facebook, I encourage you to do so, because this is what he released into the early hours. Now more than ever, you need to speak up for Israel. This is a message entitled "Urgent Message to All the Friends of Israel." Now more than ever, you need to speak up for Israel. Silence is not an option. Every friend of Israel should speak up and not be afraid to do so. Yes, I know it's not popular to stand up for Israel, especially in these times, but so what? All that matters is that you in your heart know that you are right and are on the right side of history. Israel is under attack, and if you are a friend of Israel, then you need to stand up and speak up for your friend. Write articles, letters to newspapers, write on your blog, defend Israel on social media, talk to people all around you. And that's why we're here today, from the very onset of this program and what God has led us to, that there are three foundations to, you know, that we wanted to make sure we're on the forefront of what we're doing. And that's God, number one, country, which is the United States, in that order, that we could, by establishing God's principles back in our hearts again and turning back to God, that maybe he would allow us to hold our nation, and of course Israel. And over the 3,000 or plus highlights that we have on the torch, we're encouraged to say that over 500 to 600 of them, if not more, are Israel related. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack what's happening in the Middle East, and particularly with Israel and their response to Hamas and Gaza, and we're going to get some insight into just what transpired and what this may look like for the future. More when we get right back. The message that Bibi, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, released to all of his friends on Facebook and those that receive his feed, encouraging us, all of us, Christians, everyone, who calls themselves a friend of Israel, to stand up now, because Israel's under attack. And right now, they're not only being attacked by Hamas in the Gaza Strip, right? But they're being attacked, in essence, by the media, because what's being reported right now are biased reports, all from Gaza and not from Israel. And so they're, you know, all these embedded reporters are hanging out in Gaza, and they're saying what Israel is doing, and they haven't been, reporting at large. Some have, but at large, they haven't been reporting what has been happening to Israel. Recently, the UN has just issued a report asking for a ceasefire. And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, really? Isn't it interesting that when Israel defends herself, now there's a call for a ceasefire? My understanding is the president even called Bibi to offer to broker a peace deal. And it's like every single time that Israel defends herself, now there's calls for a ceasefire. But I don't remember hearing a ceasefire from the United Nations, or really, for that matter, anybody else, in terms of Hamas stop firing these rockets into the southern borders of Israel.
Right.
And so this is what is happening, and this is what I believe CBN is reporting. It says, inside the Gaza Strip, Hamas seems to be putting its citizens in harm's way. And this is, you're seeing this repeatedly, where they're putting their citizens on top of buildings, the roofs of their buildings. They're putting their citizens in front of missiles. And it's like, what in the world is happening? You know, Israel's using its missiles to defend their people, and Hamas is using their people to defend their missiles. This is evil, crazy. What is happening. It's absolutely evil. Not only is Israel being rocketed daily, but now they have to deal with the fact that how are they going to respond to Hamas, and how are they going to take them out? And with trying to reduce as many civilian deaths as possible. And let me tell you, we've heard about the knock. I mean, Greg's covered this extensively. This is something that Israel is doing. They make phone calls. They do sirens. They alert the people in the Gaza Strip saying, listen, we are getting ready to take out some high-value targets in your area, which is Hamas, and they're right here. Mm-hmm. So we're going to ask you to leave because we're about to destroy this place and get rockets and things of that nature.
And what other country in the world would actually do that?
Yeah.
Who does about that? Especially in the Middle East.
And it's amazing, too, looking at this whole conflict back and forth, how so much of how Israel is responding in Israel, like we've talked about it before, how they're being merciful towards the Gaza Strip, and it's just not even being talked about. And it's just like that's that perspective of just like we've got to just stand with Israel and understand the fact that they're doing everything they can because they want to have peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but yet and still, you can't make peace with someone who refuses to want to make peace with you. And so, you know, you have to deal with the enemy. You have to be able to confront them. You have to be willing to stand firm no matter what. And that's one thing about Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the leadership there in Israel. They're going to defend Israel. And in fact, he was been able to share some reports, and we're going to talk about that. But one of the things that's been happening is that it's being reported that a drone now has literally flew over into Israel, and it was shot down. This is Fox News that's saying that basically that a downed drone came down on the southern coastline, making it the first time it has encountered such a weapon in its week-long campaign against the Islamic militants in the Gaza Strip. So Israel shot this thing down. The drone came from Gaza, and basically it was shot down by a Patriot surface-to-air missile near the southern city of Ashdod. And so they're stepping up their game. At the same time, what's happening, you know, and we've been saying this for a while, that although the attacks are coming from Gaza, the southern end of Israel, if you will, that they really need to be concerned about what's happening at the top of them with ISIS. But now Lebanon, there were rockets that were fired from Lebanon into Israel into a northern city of Israel. And as well, Syria shot a rocket into Israel and it hit the Golan Heights. It landed in open territory, but now we're seeing things change on the ground, you know, if you will, or in the air, rather. And they're shooting now from different parts that, you know, from the north and from the south. And so we want to encourage you to continue to pray, continue to lift Israel up. It seems that they are now looking to put some boots on the ground. But Benjamin Netanyahu basically addressed the world when he came on Fox News Sunday, and he was very clear in what he said. Israel will use any means necessary to stop Islamic militant groups, Hamas, from bombing their civilians. Period. And he laid out some of the things that they're wanting to accomplish. And the main thing is to get rid of what Hamas is trying to do. He's quoted as saying, "We develop missile defense systems to protect our citizens while they use their citizens to protect their missiles." Yeah. And this is what makes all the difference.
Yeah.
This is what makes all the difference. And you can't make peace with someone that it wants to make war with you. Mm-hmm. So he lays out some objectives. He basically says basically the amount of Israelis that are being affected is really a high rate compared to what has happened. You know, if you were to take those numbers, it's like a third of the United States running into a shelter. Mm-hmm. That's 100 million people.
Right.
So it helps us to give some sort of perspective when the apple of God's eye is being defended and being attacked, and the importance of us standing right now to defend. When we get back, we're going to go to Benjamin Netanyahu. We want to hear his words firsthand as he's reporting and sharing what's been happening and what their goal is in Israel. Watch this.
Benjamin Netanyahu joins us from Jerusalem. Mr. Prime Minister, thank you. Nice to have you with us. Can you tell us
I wish it could be under other circumstances.
Understood. Can you tell us how much of your mission you have accomplished so far? What the strikes that you have mounted have accomplished so far, in your judgment?
Well, first let me say what the mission is. Our mission is to restore a sustainable quiet, sustainable security to our people, by seriously degrading Hamas and other terrorist groups' capabilities in Gaza, I think we're proceeding. It will continue until that goal is achieved.
How much of it is achieved, sir, in your judgment so far?
Well, I'll leave that to the discussions of our inner cabinet and our general staff, but I think the important thing to understand is that we can't enable our population to be under continuous rocket fire. I mean, I just want your viewers to imagine the United States being bombarded, not in one city or two cities, but in every city between New York and Colorado. Maybe 20% of the United States would be exempt from this. 80% of your citizens would have to be in bomb shelters or ready to go into bomb shelters within a minute to a minute and a half max. You can't, no country can accept that. We can't accept that, and we'll take the necessary action to stop it.
There seems to be very little disagreement about that here in this country, Mr. Prime Minister, but obviously there's concern that a conflict like this can have unintended consequences. And people, I think, are wondering whether you are nearer the beginning of this offensive or nearer the end of it. Can you give us an assessment of that?
Well, whether we're at the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning, I'm not going to tell you that right now, because we face a very, very brutal terrorist enemy. I mean, you know, here's the difference between us. We're using missile defense to protect our civilians, and they're using their civilians to protect their missiles. That's basically the difference. They're embedding these rockets that they're firing wholesale into our cities, terrorist rocketing, trying to kill as many as they can. They're not succeeding because of two reasons. One is because we've developed this incredible missile defense system, which I think is a historic development in the history of defensive warfare. With U.S. help, and I want to thank the American people, President Obama, the U.S. Congress for helping us fund this this amazing development. But the other reason we're succeeding, you have to understand, some of the rockets do pierce through this shield. And the reason we're succeeding is also because we're targeting the rocketeers. The rocketeers are firing from homes. These homes are actually command posts of the Hamas and Islamic Jihad army. So we're that's where they have their secure communications, weapon caches, rockets, hidden map rooms, and so on. These are their command posts. Obviously, we're not going to give them immunity, and so we have to attack them, and we're trying to minimize, as we can, civilian casualties. But with this kind of enemy, we'll take whatever necessary means that we need to take. I tell you, Brit, we try surgical action. We're not indiscriminate. It's very tough. There are always going to be civilian casualties, which we regret. But we have to defend our people, and that's what we'll do.
How likely is it that you will need to mount a ground invasion to accomplish the mission you've described?
We'll take the means necessary. You know, if this can be achieved through diplomatic or military means, whatever military means, we'll do what is necessary, what any country would do, what the United States would do, what Britain would do, what France would do, many, many other countries understand this. I've spoken to President Obama and a good number of world leaders, and I think they all understand Israel's inherent right of self-defense, the fact that such attacks are unconscionable, the fact that they're rocketing our cities is something that no country should agree with. And I'm not going to get into the specifics of our operational response. Okay. I assure you that we have an operational response.
Understood. Let me turn to the subject of Iran, which I know is an enormous concern to you, sir. Iran's foreign minister was saying today on another broadcast, quote, "We don't see," said Mohammad Javad Zarif, "any benefit in Iran developing a nuclear weapon." And he went on to say that it's simply not happening and so on. I think I know what your reaction to that would be, but let's hear it from you.
It's a joke. Of course they're developing nuclear weapons. They've invested not billions of it. You know, you can start counting it in maybe in hundreds of billions of dollars. For what? For creating medical isotopes for Iranian patients circling the Earth? What are they developing ICBMs for, if not for nuclear warheads? What are they developing these, building these enormous underground nuclear facilities, if not for nuclear weapons? If they wanted to have just civilian nuclear energy, they could have it without centrifuges for enrichment, without plutonium the heavy water. That is, these are only used for nuclear weapons, so this is a sham. I mean, I don't think anybody could take this seriously. I think we have to remember this is the same Iran that is arming, financing, training Hamas and Islamic Jihad. This is the preeminent terrorist empire of our time. Not even a terrorist state, it's a terrorist empire. It's got these terror provinces. You don't want this Iran to have neither nuclear weapons or the capability to make nuclear weapons, to enrich uranium for a nuclear bomb in short order, in a few weeks or a few months. They could do that unless that's changed. I think it's possible to stop them, Britt. I think the important thing is to replicate the Syrian deal where the capability to make the weapons was actually dismantled and removed from the soil of Syria. The same should happen with
Iran. We're about, 8 days now from the deadline for the U.S. and its partners to reach a deal with Iran to try to dismantle its nuclear weapons program. The situation looks pretty bleak as of now. Your assessment of that, and whether any you can see the outlines of any deal that would be acceptable to you?
Well, look, Brett, I think that a bad deal is actually worse than no deal. And I can tell you what a bad deal would be, and I'll tell you what a good deal would be. A bad deal would be that Iran gets to keep its enriched nuclear material and the capacity to enrich further to make a bomb, and put inspectors there, leave them with the capability and put inspectors there, trust them not to break out. I think that's a terrible deal. A good deal is what was achieved under President Obama, the United States cooperating with Russia in the case of Syria. They didn't tell Assad there, okay, you can keep your chemicals and the means to convert these chemicals into chemical weapons, and we'll inspect them. That's what the Iranians are suggesting.
How?
But that's not what the deal in Syria was. The deal was you actually dismantle these materials and these capabilities and you ship them out of Syria.
Got it.
That's a good deal.
How likely?
That deal would be good.
How likely?
If you can get it, do it. If you can't get it, don't make a bad deal.
How likely is it, given what you know of the negotiations, that the kind of bad deal you describe may be what emerges here?
I certainly hope that doesn't happen because I think it would be a catastrophic development because, you know, the Middle East is in turmoil. Everything is topsy-turvy. The worst militants, Shiites and Sunni radicals, are vying with each other who will be the king of this Islamist hill. And from there, they'll go on and attack the United States, whom they see as the great Satan. We're, in this case, only your appendage in their eyes. And in a certain sense, they're right. We're part of that same hated civilization of freedom that they despise so much. But if any one of these sides, and in this case the militant Shiites led by Iran, get their hands on nuclear weapons, then all bets are off. I think the Middle East would, many nations would rush to have their own nuclear weapons here. I think these people who support terrorists would now have a nuclear weapon shield. It would be a disaster for the United States and for everyone else.
Mr. Prime Minister, thank you very much, sir.
I hope it doesn't happen. I'm working so it doesn't happen.
Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Britt. Thank you.
Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. My goodness, don't you love this guy?
Man, he's amazing.
He is amazing, and I'll tell you that he knows how to defend his country. He knows how to speak on the behalf of his country, and he wasn't going to be tripped up. I mean, you notice that the interviewer was trying to get him to whether this is the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning. We're not going to let you know any about that.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. We're gonna accomplish our mission.
At all.
Yeah, we're gonna accomplish our mission.
We're willing to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, and his mission basically is, he said, he's gonna restore sustainable quiet. But you think about it. I mean, enough is enough. And that's something about Israel, is that they exercise extreme patience when they attack. They attack with compassion. I don't know of any other military that actually does this. And they make sure that when they do something, that it's resolute and that it has a purpose to what they're doing. And he's talking about restoring sustainable quiet to reduce Hamas's structure, infrastructure, and totally take it out. Reports are that they have taken out many of their command posts, which they're basically setting up in homes. I mean, these folks are so evil, and what they try to do is just horrific. Making it more difficult, taking advantage of the compassion of the Israeli people, and they're literally throwing their people, just throwing them in front of them, their missiles as some sort of shield. The Israeli Defense Force and their blog basically just released a video. We'll make sure this is available to you. Where the Hamas spokesman has been very vocal during Operation Protective Edge. And basically, some of the stuff that he's saying is just ridiculous. He says, we are leading our people to death. Okay? We're leading our people to death. And he says that the fact is that people are willing to sacrifice themselves against Israeli warplanes. I mean, this is the type of stuff that's happening. And your just heart goes out to the to the people there in the Gaza Strip that are just, you know, are succumbing to this. You know, we want to be able to reach them with the gospel. And we want to, you know, pray that those folks can be reached. Because when you're under that kind of tyrant leadership, what can you do? You know, just at times you just follow in step and just say, this is what the leadership that's there. And we just pray for brave men and women to be able to stand up and actually start ratting some of these people out. Because I think part of what the strategy is, and I can't confirm this, but it kind of makes sense to me that as Israel is notifying them and saying, hey, listen, you civilians are not our enemies. We're letting you know that we're getting ready to attack, and it's because we found one of your operatives in this neighborhood that maybe someone would rise up and say, hey, don't send the missile to my house. I'll tell you that he is on C Street here. You know what I mean? Come get him. We'll tell you exactly where he is, and they'll start cooperating with the Israelis. And, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu is very clear in some of the things that he said, and he expressed his appreciation to the president as well as Congress and the American people for our assistance in helping to fund the Iron Dome, which he says has been really imperative to their, you know, to their security.
Survival, yeah.
I mean, the Iron Dome functions is that when a rocket is launched into Israel, they launch a counter attack that destroys a rocket from actually exploding.
Knocks it right out of the sky.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing. We know that, that the true Iron Dome is really the hand of God over Israel. And you don't want to mess with the apple of God's eye. Because God will respond and has responded. So we want to encourage you to continue to pray, continue to stand up, continue to support ministries like Christians United for Israel, CUFI, and those that are standing up for Israel. Support them because, as you heard from Bibi himself in his urgent message, that, listen, Israel's under attack. And I think this is just the beginning. I mean, the ground troops have been called up. Their reserve has been called up, and I think that they're going to go all the way through and kind of finish what needs to be finished here in the Gaza Strip. One report said that once they dealt with Hezbollah in Lebanon, they've pretty much have kept them quiet for several years because they dealt with them in the same way. And sometimes you just got to deal with folks, you know.
Yeah.
You just got to deal. You just got to deal with the enemy. I heard once somebody say that you got to hit them on contact. You know, you got to hit that enemy needs to be hit on contact, and you just got to kind of knock the wind out of them and really annihilate them because they just continue to do evil things. We do have a segment that we want to show you from Prager University. And Prager University has done some really amazing videos and things that they have shared in terms to, you know, in ways of educating the public as to, in particular, what's happening with Israel. And they put something together called Passing the Israel Test. And I want you to see this so that you can see really what's happening. It's amazing what envy and jealousy and the type of strife that envy and jealousy will produce. Watch this.
How do you respond to people who excel you in invention, creativity, and wealth? Do you envy them? Do you feel their success somehow diminishes you? Or do you admire what they've achieved and try to emulate it? These questions sum up what I call the Israel test. In the 1880s, European Jews settled in Mandate, Palestine, and wrought an agricultural miracle in that desolate territory. Then sparsely populated by a few score thousand Jews and a couple hundred thousand Arabs. The Jewish settlers drained malarial swamps, leached salt from the soils, terraced the barren hills, and planted millions of trees. They massively expanded the capacity of the land and enabled it to support a substantial Arab population. In the two decades between 1921 and 1943, Jews quadrupled the number of enterprises, multiplied the number of jobs by a factor of 10, and increased the level of capital investment 100-fold. Far from displacing Arabs, they provided the capital for a major expansion of Arab farms and enabled a 7-fold rise in Arab population by 1948 to a level of 1.35 million, the largest in the long history of Palestine. In other words, the Arabs came to what would soon be the state of Israel because of the Jews. By comparison, Transjordan, now known as Jordan, with the same geological endowment and 4 times the land, but no Jews, was able to sustain a population density only 1/10 of the population density of Palestine. Crucial to Israel's accomplishments were world-leading technological advances in the recovery of water through desalinization, drip irrigation, and sewage recycling. Over the past 50 years, Israel has increased its population 10-fold, its agricultural production 16-fold, and its industrial production 50-fold, while actually reducing net water consumption by 10% since 1948. This huge expansion of effective water resources enabled the land to support not only more Jews, but also millions more Arabs. Today, the state of Israel, with its astonishing achievements in computer science and other high-tech fields, distills both the genius of the Jews and the misdirected anger of the failed states that surround her. The great divide in the Middle East is not between Arab and Jew, but between admiration of achievement, along with the desire to replicate it, and envy accompanied by violent resentment. People who admire success, who pass the Israel test, tend to be wealthy and peaceful. People who resent achievement, who fail the Israel test, tend to become poor and violent. So again, how do you respond to people who excel you in invention, creativity, and wealth? Do you envy them? Do you feel their success somehow diminishes you? Or do you admire what they've achieved and try to emulate it? The Israel test is the central divide in the world today. How you answer it as an individual, and ultimately how we answer it as a nation, is a test of our own will to triumph over enemies who hate us, as they hate Israel, for what is best within us. I'm George Gilder, a non-Jew who has passed the Israel test for Prager University.
Join Prager University, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and sign up for free at PragerU.com.
Wow, absolutely awesome. I'm past the Israel test. Did you pass the Israel test?
Absolutely.
Well, listen, we've passed the Israel test. We want to be encouragers, not haters of Israel. And it's amazing what envy does. The video was awesome in the context that what was shared was that, you know, Jordan is like four times the land size of Israel, yet they couldn't even support not even 1/10 of the population. And the difference is there are no Jews there. When the blessing is upon you, and when the blessing is upon Jacob, things happen. And you just look at Israel, what they've been able to do as a nation, and how far they've brought their nation from an arid, dry desert land to producing just so many wonderful things, agriculture and technological.
Right.
How can you say but God?
And that's the amazing thing is that the perspective of Israel that so many have been left out, and it's just like we have been talking about it on our online presence, of just like on the torch, it just past articles that we've talked about the amazing advances that you're saying with water, and how Israel has been able to not only sustain themselves, but they're providing water, and we talked about it in a recent program, of over 110 different countries.
Yeah.
Oh, the very people that are shooting rockets into Israel, they had an interview with one of the southern city's mayors, and he says, we provide, we provide electricity to them. Mm-hmm. And they shoot rockets at us and complain at us.
They get upset when the power goes out.
Yeah, and it's
isn't that ridiculous?
That is amazing how merciful they are to the people that attack them, and they continue to provide resources to them.
Amazing. They recycle their sewage water. They don't drink it. What they do, they use it for agriculture.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To water their gardens. They took the salt out of the seawater,
yeah.
And able to. This is a place that does not have water.
Right.
I mean, I'm in. When I went to Israel, they're knocking on my door, telling me, "Hey, listen, we conserve." To tell all the Americans, conserve water. Don't take long showers. Basically, is what they're trying to say, mm-hmm. because they have a shortage of water, and now they're having a surplus. Mm-hmm. They could looking to have a surplus of water because of the technology they've invented, the irrigation drip system.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And to me, I was having this conversation. I forgot who I was having this conversation with. I have so many of them these days. But that don't say that you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say that you can't, because with God, all things are possible. When you look at how much Israel has been able to do with so little, you can look back and say, man, all things are possible when I just trust God, do things according to the way God says it. Don't count God out. Count God in, and watch what He does for you as you honor Him. More when we get right back about Israel. One of the things we love to talk about, and just to bring an awareness to what's happening with her, as we as Christians join together to pray and support her in every which way that we can. You know, continue to go to your blogs and share on Facebook. What we're sharing with you in our online presence, so that more people can be aware of some of the things that basically are not being covered, you know, in the news media today. They're not giving this type of perspective. So we want to encourage you to continue to do that. Stand up and let your voice count, because your voice matters when you stand up and say something for God, country, and, of course, Israel. We're going to be talking about...
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.